quickly into hour number two. Nice to have you here. My name is Jim Rohn. We are live in Southern California. We are in the Quicken Loan Studios. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. If you missed hour number one, a couple of breaking stories. Number one, the Pats are feeling disrespected. The Pats are putting out T-shirts. Julian Edelman went online, went on social, and said, bet against us. Bet against us. Remember, Tom Brady famously said right after the win over the Chargers, everybody thinks we suck. Look, I understand these guys will do whatever they can to get any edge they can, but why? You've gone to the AFC Championship game 8 times in a row. You're arguably the greatest dynasty, not only in that sport, but in any sport. Like, I know you want an edge. I didn't even know you need an edge. But from that, from the everybody thinks we suck angle, nobody's saying that, Tom. Like, where are you getting that from? And it's because you're not favored?
You know, everyone thinks we suck. And
everyone. Name one person. Name one person who matters, who is on record as saying the Patriots suck.
Can't win any games, so we'll see.
Name one person anywhere who matters, who said they can't win any games. I know a few people who matter, myself included, who said, you know, they're not what they were. They're not what they were. They can't rush the quarterback. Their Hall of Fame tight end is a shadow of himself. Tom Brady's not playing as well as he had. Edelman, coming off that 4-game suspension, doesn't look quite right. And they didn't, all right? They lost to Jacksonville early in the year. You know, Jacksonville, the biggest disappointment in the NFL this year. They lost 3 of 4 on the road. Let me say that one more time. They didn't look right. The reason people were saying that they weren't right is because they weren't right. So then I also said going into the postseason, generally, the biggest lock in the NFL is this. The Patriots, after a bye, in a divisional game, at home. If there's one sure thing in the NFL, it's that. I acknowledged it, and then I went the other way. And they made me look bad. I had to slam a crow sando for an entire week. In fact, they made a lot of people look bad. And that should have been enough. That should have been enough. They shut everybody up. They taught everybody a lesson, and we all learned. Never, ever doubt the hood. Never doubt TB12 in the postseason. They're not done until they're done. They're not done until they say they're done. We get it. We learned our lesson. It should have been enough, but it's not. And now they're throwing that card, the disrespect card, the everybody says we suck card, when nobody's saying it. So that was big topic in hour number one. The other big topic, I saw John Wick trending, which can mean one of two things. Wick is dead, or the trailer for the third installment is out. And luckily, it is the latter. So we got into that whole conversation. I am efforting Steve Prohme, Iowa State head basketball coach. This email says, hey, Julian, bet against us. Was your slogan writer a fifth grader? Was TGIF too expensive? War Chiefs blowout. John in St. Louis. Notice what I'm not saying. Notice I'm not saying they're going to go there and they're going to get beat. I didn't say that once. I just said, again, I don't even have an issue with them looking for an edge. I have an issue with them looking for an edge there. I have an issue with that being their edge. And how many more people want them to get hammered now? And my other point, I want to make this very clear. Patriot fans, I know you think we all hate you because you win so much. That's not it. At least not me personally. I respect it. It's this kind of thing that we don't like. Rome, Harden is playing completely out of his mind right now. I think my favorite stat is that in his last two games, his collective point total equals the amount of teeth that he has in his head. Simply amazing. John in Huntington Beach. War Eye Ray using celery veins to floss. Two things you can't do, bro. Personal appearance as show fodder and bum smack. Take the rest of the day off. Hey, John, take the rest of the week off. Take the rest of the month off. Take the year off. How about this, John? Just don't email me anymore. Alvin, who is he? He's Batman. Ryan in H-Town. I'm going to take you to the bank, Senator Trench. The blood bank.
I'm going to take you to the bank, Senator Trent. To the blood bank.
Alan, Ontario. And notice Seagal was not a part of that conversation. He did not come up.
karate.
He's not part of the conversation at all. Speaking of James Harden, if you saw Ersan Ilyasova's name popping up on Twitter last night, you may have thought that the big man had passed away. Good news, he did not die. Not literally. Bad news, he died spiritually. His soul was snatched from the rest of us. And the man responsible for that theft was one Jamichael Green. Go ahead, roll it.
His competitive nature off of the bench.
Oh! Jamichael Green, blocking foul on Ilyasova.
You said we don't have guys that, enough guys to finish above the rim.
Well, what do you call this? One-hand spike by Jamichael as Ilyasova. Get all over the poster.
Get all over the poster is right. If you saw that on CBS Sports Network or you've seen the video, it's filthy, it's sick, it's twisted, it's disgusting. Quick note here. That was not your typical Twitter dunk explosion. That wasn't Ersan going up to block a dunk and getting posterized. That was him sliding over to take a charge and Green ripping his soul. In fact, I think I'd like to see that one more time.
His competitive nature off of the bench.
Oh! Jamichael Green blocking foul on Ilyasova.
You said we don't have guys that enough guys to finish above the rim.
Well, what do you call this? One-hand spike by Jamichael as Ilyasova. Get all over the poster.
Poor Ilyasova, we hardly knew ya. But while that was the dunk of the year, it was not the performance of the night. No, that goes to James Edward Harden Jr. Let's talk about the level that Harden's playing at right now. He scored 57 Monday night. Pretty impressive. You want to know what's really impressive? He scored 57 Monday night, and I barely mentioned it on the Tuesday show because that's the level he's at right now. You see the guy go off for 57, and it's like, yeah, that's just a beard. Whatever. I mean, sure, he can go out for 57 in a night, but can he do it twice in a single week? Yes, because he did it twice in 3 days. He chased Monday's 57 with 58 last night against the Nets. 58. And he did it with a really slow start. He had 14 in the first half, then he went off for 22 in the third quarter, and then he hit 50 in perfect Harden fashion.
7 seconds on the shot clock. Harden steps back over Caruso. Got it. There was almost another man down. Almost broke a hand.
This guy cleared about 30 feet of space. He cleared about 30 feet of space with that jab step and that step back. Absolutely textbook. Man, you know James Harden has reached a new level when you see a highlight like that and you're impressed that the defender didn't just quit and find a new line of work after it happened. I know I would have. So what's the next level? What's that new level? 2 games, 115 points. We're moving out of MJ and Kobe territory and into Wilt Chamberlain territory. In fact, Harden and Chamberlain are the only two guys in history with back-to-back 55-point games. The only difference being Chamberlain was like a giant amongst men. Harden is like a man amongst giants. Hey-o. He's got 18 straight games of at least 30. 18 straight games of at least 30, which is the longest streak like that since the Stilt did it back 20 straight times more than 50 years ago. Think about that. Let me just stop on that for a minute. More than a half a century of basketball, more than a half a century of guys like Kareem, Dr. J, Bird, MJ, Kobe, LeBron. Nobody's done that until now. None of those guys did that until Harden. We haven't hit the All-Star break yet. But if you want to give this guy the MVP right now, I'm not going to argue with you. And I don't think anybody else would either. The team was dead at the start of the season. He has single-handedly dragged them right back with some of the most jaw-dropping basketball you're ever going to see. And yes, I said single-handedly because he's doing it without Chris Paul, and now he's doing it without Clint Capella. This guy literally is a one-man team. His assists are down the last 2 games because he's running out of guys to pass it to. And the fact that he's doing it on a nightly basis, and you're getting used to it, doesn't mean that it's not spectacular. Nets coach Kenny Atkinson said, quote, "I'm speechless how good he is. It changed everything. How you coach. We're doing things we've never done before. He's changing the way the game is played. He's revolutionary." That is an amazing quote. Like, they said things like that about Chamberlain 50 years ago. He's changing the way the game is played. We're changing the way we coach. He's revolutionary. I mean, they didn't say things like that about LeBron or Mike or Kobe or Larry, but they're saying it about Harden. And again, for some of you, it's still not enough. For some of you, this guy's boring. For some of you, this guy's a cheater because he goes to the free throw line so much. It's kind of like saying that an NFL team throwing screen passes is cheating. It's not. Harden's not. Nobody said Tom Brady cheated when he kept running screens at the Chargers. It's because it was there, because it worked. The guy keeps getting to the free throw line. You know why he keeps going to the free throw line? Because guys keep fouling him. He's not a cheater. He's a cheat code. And no, they didn't win, but that does not take anything away from his performance. I mean, yeah, he was pissed that they lost. He was pissed that they blew a late lead, and it was a bad lead to blow. Brutal to be up six with 30 seconds left in regulation and still lose in overtime. I mean, there was a time when you'd be able to clown a team for blowing a late lead to Brooklyn, but have you seen the Nets lately? I mean, have you seen them lately? Because they've got Jarrett Allen doing things like this.
Harden still got a chance, 4 seconds left to get the final shot, and he has it blocked by Allen.
Jarrett Allen, a presence defensively.
What a block. So impressive.
Not only that, they also have Spencer Dinwiddie hitting one clutch shot after another. Spencer Dinwiddie doesn't just have one of the best names in the NBA. He had 16 points in the final minute of regulation and overtime. So let me say something that I did not think that I would say ever again. Check this. The Brooklyn Nets are coming. They're building something, and they have done it without much in the way of draft picks. But last night was not about their future. It's about Harden's present. Man, you better take notice. You better soak this all in because there's no telling how long it's going to last. But when it's over, we might not see anything like it for another 50 years because we haven't seen anything like it in the last 50 years. And I don't care that it happened during a loss. You don't see stuff like that, and you may not see it again. You got to put respect on this guy. And Spencer Dinwiddie for one of the best names in sports. We are going to move Steve Prome. You probably figured out by now that that's not going to happen this segment. We'll find a spot for him. Paul Flannery coming up next hour. I'm looking for a good telephone call to elevate the conversation. I want to go back to one thing, too. At the end of hour number one, Bob in Carpinteria emailed. He said he's a 65-year-old male that has listened for 20 years and reached out for the first time after hearing Pat Perez. If a 65-year-old guy could find the podcast, you all should be able to find the podcast. Nice job, Bob. Quote, that's the kind of ish that makes life special. Ep 66. I love a 65-year-old guy listening to the podcast. And Perez was that good. Like, he was elk good. Who else can you say that about? Nobody on this show. 1-800-636-8686. Don't go anywhere. We are coming right back.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
We will have Steve Prome momentarily. Also, Jalen Hurts is going to Oklahoma. Great move for him. Great move for them. I want to talk about Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown, again, yesterday, was getting into it with Emmanuel Sanders on Twitter. He responded to Bruce Arians, who had taken a run at him. Even Arians didn't even take a run at him. I take that back. Arians said he's just not the same guy he was when we drafted him with the Steelers. So I've got an update on Antonio Brown, too. But as promised, we're joined now by the head basketball coach at Iowa State. Fourth season with the Cyclones. He is a two-time conference coach of the year. Big, big win last night for Iowa State over number 8, Texas Tech. 68-64. Iowa State's 13-4 overall. They're 3-2 in a rugged Big 12. And they're at home against Oklahoma State on Saturday night. Steve Prome is my guest. Steve, good to have you back. How are you?
Good. How you doing, Jim? Thanks for having me on.
Great to have you on. So last night you went into that game and you were coming on the back of two straight losses. Steve, you know the expectations at Iowa State, and there have been thoughts in some corners that, oh, no, the sky is falling. But each of those losses were close. So what was your mindset going into last night? Were you at all worried, or were you fired up about the challenge of facing a really good Texas Tech club in their place?
No, I think Sunday morning when you got up and were able to put the Kansas State game behind you and you spent all day watching tape on Tech and preparing for them, I started feeling really good about, you know, having an opportunity to put ourselves in a position to win. You know, whether we'd win or lose, you know, who knows. But I thought our preparation would be really good and our focus would be good, and that we've got great respect for that team. Chris Beard's done an amazing job, and they're the number one defensive team in the country for a reason. But we knew it wasn't everybody, you know, kind of said must win. I don't know if it's a must win, but it was a game we need to go down there and play well and kind of regain our chemistry and regain a little bit of our swagger that we lost the previous week. And, you know, we were able to get off to a really good start. And I think Coach Beard mentioned this in his press conference. You know, we really won the game in the first half. Offensively, really efficient. We didn't turn it over.
Steve Prohm, my guest. You know, I've got so much respect for Chris Beard. I know you do, too. I can hear it in the way you're talking about him right now. And you know they're going to get after you on defense. They came into last night second in the nation in field goal defense, but you shot 44% from the field last night. What was your approach going into the game?
Share the ball. I think that's one of the things. When you start four guards, I think, and we bring off, you know, really, you know, one of our best players right now, you know, Wigginton, he's a starter as well. But he's been injured and he's come back from injury. And so, you know, we really got five perimeter guys that are starters that can really pass, dribble, and shoot. And so our biggest thought process going down there was we've got to make them move. We've got to have them in rotation all night as much as we possibly can. And we've got to share the ball. And I think when people have watched us play this year and when we're playing the right way and sharing the ball, I think we're a very effective offensive team.
Steve Prohm joining us. You know, it's not just what you did on offense. It's also what you did on defense against Jarrett Culver. There's a good chance he's going to be a top 10 pick in the draft. You held him, though, to 7 of 21 shooting. How pleased were you with the way your guys showed up on defense against him specifically?
Well, you've got to get stops down there so you're able to play in transition. You know, the more, you know, they did a good job in the second half kind of junking things up against us. But the more you give up, you know, free throws, the more you foul, the more the games get slowed down, the more they put you, you know, in a half-court setting, and we wanted to play in transition and in space. And so, you know, one of the biggest focal points was we've got to be great defensively. Culver's terrific. I think they did a great job in the second half of just isolating him and putting him in situations where he could draw fouls, and they got into the bonus early. Fortunately for us, you know, there wasn't a great free throw shooting night for them, but I was proud of the way Nick Babb and our other guys competed against Culver, which, like you mentioned, he's got a bright future playing this game.
We're talking Iowa State basketball. Head coach Steve Prohm is my guest. So with last night's win and then the one over Kansas, you've got two top 10 wins this season. What does that tell you about the upside and how good this team can be this year?
Well, I've liked this team really since the spring. We kind of, you know, we had a tough year last year. A lot of new faces, lost a lot of really good players after my second year, and knew it was kind of be a rebuilding year. But once that season was over, we had a couple transfers sitting out, Mariel Shayok, Mike Jacobson, and we just really preached about sharing the ball and playing the right way and representing Iowa State the right way. And, you know, I've had a really good feeling about this team from the spring into the summer, into the fall. We've had our fair share of adversity with suspensions and injuries. But I think if we collectively can do the right things, and our big quote is don't seek honor, honor will find you. If we can buy into that and buy into our other kind of our core values of our program, I think this team, if we're selfless and we defend, I think we can do some special things this year.
And Steve, the conference is fierce. I've had a number of Big 12 coaches on this year. Every single one of them has talked about how competitive the conference is, what a grind it is on a nightly basis. I mean, you can't win in that conference if you don't have a locker room full of competitors. So when you're out recruiting, what is it that you look for that lets you know that you found a guy who can win on the road in the Big 12?
I think I kind of grew up under this, and they're working for Billy Kennedy, who's at Texas A&M now. It's, you know, it goes down to character, number one, and then having a great toughness about you. You know, character, toughness, and ability. I mean, those are the three things. And now I think the way the game's gone, basketball IQ is so important. But, you know, the guys I think you need and that have been successful here at Iowa State are guys that love to play, guys that put a ton of time in the gym on their own. That's why right now we've got, you know, several former guys, I think five former guys right now in the NBA with a couple with the Jazz, the Thunder, and then Monte Morris with the Nuggets. And so, but those guys individually put a lot of time in. And so, but I think character and a toughness and just an ability to love the game, I think that's the biggest key.
Steve Prohm joining us. You know, I mentioned in the intro that it's your fourth season at Iowa State. Man, how is that possible? I remember when you and I talked right after you were hired. So what do you know about this job maybe now that you didn't know when you first arrived?
Watching it from the outside, you know, when I was at Murray State, it's a job that I knew if it ever opened, it would one that I would love to be involved in just because it has so many of the characteristics that I want in a program. If I was going to move my family, you know, it's got a great community. It's got an unbelievable fan base. They've got a great passion for not just basketball, but every single sport here. And they've got a lot of pride in their school. And I love college towns and small college towns. And so I thought this would be a really good fit. And, you know, the one thing, I don't know if there's anything I've really learned more that I didn't maybe know on the outside. But the one thing I guess you're just reassured of is just how great this fan base is. I think it's a top five fan base in the country. I think Hill Magic's one of the elite places to play college basketball, and that we've got really, really good people, not just in Ames, Iowa, not just Iowa State fans, but in this whole state in general.
Now, Steve, a final topic. I think that maybe you touched on this a little bit when I said what kind of person or player are you looking to recruit that can win on the road in that conference. But I thought you made an interesting point over the summer when you told The Athletic, quote, "I always said recruiting other good players will happen. We'll get other good players in here and other good talent. The hardest thing over time is to get back the culture of how we want to do things on an everyday basis." I'm telling you, culture is a word that comes up the most when I talk to coaches in any sport at all. So how would you define the culture that you want in your program?
Well, we're getting back to it. You know, the number one thing, you know, we talked about is, and this are kind of our five keys. It's, you know, being selfless, being responsible, being present daily. You know, then we just had a saying that, you know, we had Eric Thomas come speak to us, and then it's like, you know, with all these situations that come about, you've got decisions to make. Well, every time you make a decision, you got to ask yourself, then what? You know, then what? Well, what's it going to produce, good or bad, if you make that decision? And so, you know, we talked to our guys about that last night of, you know, can you be selfless? Can you be responsible? Can you be present? And then the other thing we talk about is one more. Can you do something extra for somebody, you know, that can't repay you? And if you can do that, you know, we'll win games, but you're going to be men. And that's the biggest thing is you want to develop men that can represent your program in this university the right way. And that's what I think we're most proud of here right now is how great all of these former guys are doing here. And Fred Hoiberg's got a ton to do with that, probably way more than I do because he brought the majority of them here. And I think our culture slipped a little bit last year because of the turnover. You know, we got lost guys like Monte Morris, Burton, Naz Long, Matt Thomas that had been here for so long that we had to kind of reintroduce our culture. And, you know, it took a little bit longer than we would wanted. But guys like Mariel Shayok and Mike Jacobson and, you know, Nick Weiler Bad, those guys, and along with many others, we really like our freshmen too, have been able to step up and kind of reinstill the culture that we want.
Yeah, Steve, I know it's speculation, just speculation on your part, but you mentioned Fred Hoiberg. Do you think that Fred has unfinished business in the pro game, or do you think that he might want to make a return to the college game?
Well, I talk to him, you know, every now and then. We don't really talk, you know, that in-depth about basketball and job. From a job standpoint, we talk more basketball and how things are going here. And he's been an unbelievable resource for me during my time here, but I hope he gets another chance in the NBA. You know, I think he's a brilliant coach. He's an unbelievable man, and he's been really good to me. And Chicago, obviously, we all know the situation that he had there wasn't, you know, the most ideal. And so, you know, hopefully, you know, he can get back in there at the NBA this year would be terrific. But wherever he ends up as a coach, he's going to be really successful because I know the way the guys that played for him that I coached, I know the way that they felt about him and the impact that he had on those guys.
Iowa State coming off a huge win over Texas Tech last night, and they're right back at it. They are going up against Oklahoma State on Saturday. Always a battle in the Big 12. Steve Prohm, my guest. Steve, great to get caught up, and I appreciate the time so much. Thank you very much, Steve. Have a great day.
You too. Thanks, Jim.
Good talking to you, Steve. Well done. Iowa State basketball. All right. When we return, remember I said that I need to hear from Trench and Shred? I don't have Trench. I do not have Shred.
Trench?
I don't even have Matt.
Shred?
But apparently I have Matt's grandfather who wants to jump into the fray. Matt in Vancouver's grandpa wants in. That's great, Gramps. Way to lower the show demo. It's fine.
Grandpa.
It's good. If I can't get Matt, I'll take his old man or his old man's old man. We can do this. That's coming up. We're up open until Paul Flannery next hour. Time now for a sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Heat branded products are designed to keep your fuel system flowing even under the harshest conditions. Remove water, raise MPGs. Clean the fuel system. Heat, baby. We're still talking about Pat Perez. There have been, if I've done 66 podcast episodes, there have not been five, maybe not three, that got this kind of reaction. The days after it dropped, people were still coming in. Romy, that Pat Perez podcast was one of the best ones thus far. Who else can do an entire interview with a dip in? Classic. Stu in San Diego. That's good listening. I think he did, actually. I think that he did. At Hitman Canadian tweets, Harden is a cheat code? Psst, please. We'll go all up, up, down, down, left, right, left, right, B, A, start on his ass. Sign Contra. On his. Thanks, Alvin. Paul Flannery coming up next hour. All right, so again, one of the topics, Canadian on Canadian crime. Al in Ontario called yesterday. I wonder if he's listening. He jumped today. His call jumped today. He called in yesterday and said, I am new to the program. I love the show. You're an amazing interviewer, but these two guys, these two Canadians, they're bringing you and your show down.
This one guy, Trench or something, or Shred in Edmonton. I mean, this is not Canadian. The other guy in Vancouver. These guys are just, they're rude, and they are just attack, attack, attack. I don't get it.
These guys are rude, and they're just attack, attack, attack. So I said, how about that, Trench? How about that, Shred? How about that, Matt?
Shred.
Are you guys going to respond to what this guy just said about you? And apparently they're not. Not on the phones. But a family member is. So I'm told. Hawk says to me that Matt in Vancouver is not calling, but Matt's grandfather is. Better than nothing, I guess. Grandpa. Grandpa Pat in Vancouver.
Grandpa.
Hey, Pat, are you really Matt's grandfather?
Hello there, Jimmy. First time, long time. I can confirm I am his grandfather. In fact, based on him and Trench's recent meteoric rise to fame, we have I've dumped Matt's grandmother, and I am now dating a 21-year-old Instagram model. But on to Allen, Ontario, he comes on here bad-mouthing two of the greatest Canadians ever in the jungle. Al, I challenge you to a 4:45 a.m. black coffee drinking contest over a game of cribbage. Wart, you cannot say you are ashamed of these young men. They are making the show better than it's ever been. And War, cribbage, War, waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Grandpa Pat. I don't know. Grandpa Pat sounded like Matt. Anyway, Grandpa Pat just wore cribbage, waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and then he went four-letter bomb and said, oh, I forgot the other one. Did he challenge him to a cribbage match? To a cribbage and black coffee drinking match? All right, so that's Grandpa Pat. What, Matt can't defend himself, Grandpa? Grandpa Pat wanted a piece of Al. My man, Al, if you're listening right now or you're watching right now, my man, I got your back. Al, you're a good dude. You're a good dude, and I could not be happier to have you on the program. Understand those two guys, though, that you talk about them being attack, 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 that they're rude. You're right. They are. They are rude, and they are about attack, 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 and it makes the show better. But they're on your side. All right, this is just getting weird now. Since we're talking Canada, that was Grandpa Pat. And look who's chasing that. Grandpa Trench. Why the hell not? I'll do it. Grandpa Trench. What's up, Gramps?
Well, hey there, Rome. Yeah, I got something for Grandpa Joe out in Ontario. Now hit pause on your shuffleboard match, old man, and listen up. You want to take a run at the Prodigy, then you got to come see about me first. Now let me tell you something you already know. The jungle ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as the jungle. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, I suggest you go get your weekly colonoscopy with Dr. Rex before you come back and get your ass whooped, you hear me? Stick to playing Go Fish with Rick and Buffalo if you can't handle the heat, old man. Now, I got to get back to the weights. You take care, Rob.
Grandpa Trench going all Rocky Balboa with it. All right, then. Yeah, and I still want to hear from Matt, and I still want to hear from Trent, a.k.a. Tyler in Shredminton. So that's Grandpa Trench defending his grandson, Tyler. And we had Grandpa Pat defending his grandson, Matt. And what a quinky-dink. They went back-to-back. All because Al in Ontario, Alvin. Al in Ontario came in yesterday and said, these guys, man, they're so rude. They're so rude, Rome. Rome, you're a solid talk show host. You do really smart interviews. Who are these rude guys that come in and attack, attack, attack?
This one guy, Trench or something, or Shred in Edmonton. I mean, this is not Canadian. The other guy in Vancouver. These guys are just, you know, they're rude, and they are just attack, attack, attack. I don't get it.
He made a great point. This is not Canadian. He's right. That's part of why I love those guys, because it kind of really isn't Canadian. You wouldn't expect that. But what I would expect is somebody like Al to just find the show. Imagine, see, I tend to overlook this. I've done this for so long that you almost forget sometimes, and especially because we're on CBS Sports Network. So there are people who find the show. Believe it or not, I've done this so long, but there are still new listeners to the program. There are people that stumble upon the program. So imagine just dropping out of the sky and dropping in on us. This is not like any other show. And especially if you're somebody like Alan Ontario and you're listening or watching this show for the first time or the first week, and I'm here. Good job, Alvin. I'm here in California. I'm here in the U.S. And this guy's hearing fellow Canadians come in and, quote, attack, 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 attack. And
attack, attack,
to him,
attack.
They're not classy. They're rude. This is good. Canadian on Canadian crime, Canadian beef. I mean, Trench and Shred have been spending their entire days fighting America.
Trench.
And now they got to fight their own war within. Now it's on their own soil. Hey, Rome, if that old dude wants Trench and Matt to stop calling. He needs to get hundreds of signatures signed the Roger Penske chairman.
Yes, I'm a spokesman for the Roger Penske organization, and we plan on getting thousands and thousands of signatures against Jim Rome if he doesn't stop his lying and his talking about NASCAR and calling the NASCAR drivers different names that are not the names of the drivers. And if we have to, we're going to go all the way on this situation. Thank you.
That guy was on my voicemail way back in the day. I'll bet you that guy's been in the ground 20 years. That's how old that is. I bet that guy's been in the ground 20 years. How laughable is that? Somebody taking a run at me for my disrespect of NASCAR. How many NASCAR drivers do we put on this show? All of them? All of them not named Smoke? That's who Steve's talking about. My man Al is going to be fun. Let's go to Green Bay. Douglas in Green Bay. Douglas, how are you?
Hello. I am fine, Jim. I am fine. I want to say I'm following up on Al's call from yesterday. You do a great job interviewing. Sometimes it's very sobering. Sometimes it's very enlightening. But it's always entertaining. And I really want to say I hope Al continues to listen. And don't take no for these other Canadians. They just don't know what they're doing. And, Jim, you know, your son, he's looking at coming to Wisconsin for school. That's great. Best school there is. If you do show up here, I got extended an open invitation to you for the great, great, great season in February. Sturgeon Spirit. You got to come on up. You got to check it out. Ends about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. That's when all the fun starts. The grills break out. The venison gets thrown down. And boy, do we have a good time.
Douglas, I'm in. My man, I'm in. Rack him. I will take you up on that, Douglas. That sounds incredible. We can ice fish until about 1 o'clock. And that's when the fun starts. The venison comes out. It goes on the grill. Man, I'm all in. We're not there yet. We have not committed. But Jake got into Wisconsin, so he is leaning strongly towards that. That was his top choice. As I mentioned, Arizona came in late. Came in fast, came in late. He got into Arizona State. He got into Missouri. He got into Emerson College. We are waiting on Syracuse. So we're not sure yet. It's not a done deal, but Wisconsin is still our top choice. Still Jake's top choice. I may be hanging out with y'all in Wisco. He mentioned sturgeon spear fishing. That is not the first time that has come up on this program. No, that came up way back in the day when Bill Plaschke, then of the LA Times, tried to fight an entire bar in Green Bay.
Plaschke, how do the people of Green Bay sit through Packer football games?
After sitting in a branch for 6 hours waiting for a deer to run underneath a branch, you can sit in the stands after sitting on a sheet of ice trying to kill a sturgeon with a spear. How many people here have ever tried to kill a sturgeon with a spear? That's all I want to know. Yeah, look at them. Look at all of them. Who in the hell tries to kill a sturgeon with a spear? Who? It's the truth.
My favorite is that guy screaming out, "You're next!"
Who?
Hour number three coming up. Do not go anywhere. I want to talk about Antonio Brown and how he's handling this, how the Steelers are handling it, and where it leaves both of them. That topic next hour.